spent a lot of time with John today. John's
gospel. It's a good place to spend time. In John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It says in verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Then in chapter 3 as well, verse 13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." And also in chapter 14, in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Just some brief thoughts here. It's very wonderful. We've seen the sun today. And what a wonderful sight it's been. It's been very enlightening for our hearts and our souls. It's been enjoyable for us who have life from God. We enjoy beholding the sun. And it's interesting that the Lord Jesus himself, on these two occasions we read in 1 and 3, refers to him as being in the bosom of the Father. That's why he was walking here. He was in the bosom of the Father. And while he was here, he was the Son in heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. It's very interesting that the Lord Jesus, where was his true enjoyment? Where was his true pleasure? We talked about his doing the will of the Father. And we talked about just his very desire to be obedient was delightful to the Father. But how wonderful that the Lord Jesus himself, the enjoyment of his being, his person, was in the presence of his Father. That was his constant enjoyment, his constant delight. And so it's very beautiful that the one who stepped out of eternity into time, the Son of God, in order that he might make known the Father to man, to us, to declare God, that no one had seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, the unique, only one, the only begotten Son, the one who always enjoyed the Father. And while here, he still was constantly enjoying God, his Father. And how magnificent to see that in chapter 14, he is the only one who knows what the Father's house is like. He is the only one that ever enjoyed the Father's house. This was his place. This was his place. Isn't it wonderful that he refers to this very thing here when he says, "In my Father's house." There it is again, that word "my." And the Lord Jesus is the only one that could use that word "my" correctly. Mm-hmm. The young children here, how many times do you say that? When you have something that's yours, it's mine. It's mine. And that's a very selfish thing we often use it as. It's very possessive. But isn't it every time the Lord Jesus uses this term "my," he says it in relationship to what he's going to bring us into. My joy, my peace. And he's giving it to us. He shares it with us. The Lord is not selfish. He's not at all self-centered. He's completely selfless. And he loves his Father. Yet he loves those that the Father has given to him as well. John 17. And therefore, the Lord Jesus is gone. As he says here, he went to prepare a place. Because, he says, in my Father's house, he says, it's a big place. It's a large place. It has many abodes. And you know what he says? I'm going to prepare a place for you. For you. And isn't that wonderful? Sonship doesn't come out in John's gospel. There's only one son in John, the Lord Jesus. He is the Son. In Hebrews, priesthood doesn't really come up. There's only one priest, really, before the writer, and that's the Lord Jesus, the great high priest. And yet here it's wonderful that he brings children. He brings us, children of God, who have relationship now with God. He brings us into what he enjoys. And he says, you know, I'm not only bringing you into what I enjoy, but he says, I'm going to bring you to the place that I've always enjoyed, that I've always loved, my Father's house. And I'm going to bring you there. And not there to sit outside the door. I mean, we would have been glad to be outside the door. To be a doorkeeper. We'd be glad to be that. Or I think one misunderstood that scripture and he said, I'd rather be a doormat in the house of my God. Well, we'd be thankful to be a doormat. But how wonderful he has brought us into this place where we can enjoy the inside. The enjoyment of what is in that home. And what makes a house a home? It's those who live there. There's lots of houses, they're vacant. You know, they have signs up for sale. That's not much of a home. But it's those who live there that make it a home. And what a wonderful home this house is. The Father and the Son and the Spirit. That's their eternal home. And they're sharing it with you and with me. That's divine love and grace. We don't deserve it. A couple of us were talking earlier. What we deserve? Judgment. Naturally, every bit of mankind deserves judgment. And if we know a little bit about ourselves, we say, amen. I know this heart. I know what I have, and I know a little way, because no one really knows his heart. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can't fully know this heart, but God knows it. And yet it's wonderful that he who knows these hearts would open up these hearts to us to make us say, look, you have to judge that heart in my presence. If you want to enjoy what I've promised to give, you have to come to me, the Lord Jesus says, with a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart. Not a heart full of self and full of sin and full of pride, but a heart that says, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve any of your goodness. I don't deserve any good thing. But you loved me so. And the Lord Jesus did. How did he prove this love of his? This love that makes promises like this is a great promise. He promised these disciples that not only am I going to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be. That is a fabulous promise in the Word of God. You know, people talk about wanting to know they have a place in heaven, and they hardly know anything about it. They hardly know anything about the Lord. But one thing we have to know is that the Lord Jesus, who made this promise, made it perfectly clear in many other places that the only way we can receive any of his good promises is by taking the place that God has called us, what we are as sinners. We take that place, we admit that we don't deserve his goodness, and then we come to him as a sinner and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, and not just to give me forgiveness, but to bless me with you forever. Forever. And that's available to every single one. Doesn't matter how old or young. Doesn't matter whether you grew up in a Christian home or didn't. These wonderful promises of God are available to you and to me. Freely. Not based upon our performance nor upon our merits in life or in this world, but based completely upon his own purposes of grace and love extended to you. And we all know that verse, everyone in this room. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That was the Son who was ever in the bosom of the Father. He knows what that bosom How wonderful that bosom is. A bosom is a wonderful place. It's the nearest place to the heart. The nearest place to the heart. The mother takes a baby and puts it right in her bosom. The nearest place to her heart. And the baby gets to know the sound of the heartbeat. Knows the mother's heartbeat. And how wonderful that that one who was in the bosom of the Father is the one who willingly laid down his life that we might enjoy and have his life eternal. And where is life eternal going to be fully enjoyed? Right here, in the Father's house. What more sweet place, what more wonderful place to enjoy fellowship with divine persons than right at home. Right at home. And that's the place the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare for us. He finished the work at Calvary. He finished all the work to make us suitable for that place. One thing's left. If you've trusted Him as Savior, and you know that you have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, one thing's left. He's coming again. He's promised He's coming. He's promised He's going to take us from this scene that is so opposed to the name of the Lord Jesus, as we heard today. He's going to take us to the place where that name is everything. There's no other name up there. Just think of that. You're not going to have big sports figures, great rock stars. You're not going to have any of this up there. It's all Him. The Son is everything in that place. Here's a little tiny bit of us meeting in a room for a conference. And just think, there's multitudes out here around us driving down the roads and looking for fun, having no interest in this name nor in this place. But isn't it wonderful that God has worked in your heart, in my heart, to give us a desire, an appetite for Him, for His things, His promises, His home? This is God. That's our God. That's how great His love is. That He would desire that we would be with Him and enjoy what He enjoys. So what's His home like? What's His house like? You know, I think a brother one time spoke of it. He tried to picture this house as different parts of a house. But I think that's kind of hard, because it's a magnificent thought. The Father's house. It's not just structure we're talking about, and framework and block and concrete. That's not at all what this is about. This is an eternal home. A home that doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an ending. All the houses that we live in, you know, the mortar starts to crack, the plaster starts to crack. Things need constantly to be upgraded, changed, replaced. But this home is changeless. Just like the one who enjoys it. Changeless. And He is the center of all things. The Son in the Father's home is the center of all the enjoyment. So just think, this home must be pretty large. Just think how many saints there are. And there's many abodes, and some have given the idea that there's an abode for all the various companies. All the various companies that will be able to enjoy it. And so I just think, there's Old Testament saints. Just think, there are those that never could grasp or comprehend what we enjoy today. Their minds just don't have the ability to understand. And I believe there may well be an abode for such. The blood of the Lord Jesus has made provision for those that don't have the capacity to believe like we have understood today. The retarded, such as this. What about all those aborted children that men thought there was no need for, or women thought there was no need for? Well, the Lord, that was life from God. And therefore, it's wonderful that this Father's house has many abodes, and yet there's a place prepared for us, the assembly. The assembly. And where is the assembly's place? Well, I'm just saying this. I believe it's very near the Son. We, the assembly, are the one who's spoken of as the Lamb's wife, the bride. That's the nearest place of affection and intimacy and nearness. And that's a place that has been given to us all by grace. All by grace. So what are we going to do in this home Are there a bunch of lounge chairs there and just sit around and please yourself? We're worshipers. He's made us to be worshipers. We're going to be forever. I don't think it means we're just going to be sitting in one spot doing one thing only for eternity, but we've been made worshipers. And what will we be doing? We'll be to the praise of the glory of His grace. We will be constantly a company that will be bringing praise to God for His wondrous grace, His wondrous thoughts of love. So may the Lord encourage us to know this one better, the Son of the Father, as we heard, that we might know better what that home is like where we're going. Because no one knows that home like the Son. I believe we have a hymn like that. How blessed a home, the Father's house. The Son alone knows it best. And He's sharing it with us. He wants us, just like we've learned about Him today, He wants us to enjoy Himself. And you know, if we enjoy Him and get to know Him, we'll know what that home is like. Because that home is no different than the ones who live there. So if we get to know Him, we will know what this home, this house is like. So may God bless His word, and may God not allow anyone here who is still hesitating, halting between two opinions, as one said, first of all, in coming to the Lord Jesus, and second of all, in living for Him. There's no need to halt between two opinions. Because one opinion says, this world is home. The other opinion says, that is my home. Don't halt. Don't kind of be, you know, to halt is to stop, not really go fully. Don't be like that. Let us go forward in faith, following this one who has loved us unto death and risen. He's risen from among the dead. Follow Him closely, keeping our eyes closely fixed on Him, and we will be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He will do this work to fashion us more like Himself. The Lord Jesus will accomplish this work by the Spirit, will fashion us more like Himself, and one day soon, when we're caught up to meet Him in the air, He's going to change these bodies. He will change us completely and make us suitable in every way for that scene above, for that home above. He will make us suitable completely for that place. And so may the Lord help us to really lay into these things with our hearts, cleave unto the Lord with purpose of heart, that we might enjoy what He is presently enjoying, and we might long to be with Him where He is. God bless you. Amen.
We read some verses from the beginning of John 17 and some verses from the end in our studies. I'd like to read a few verses from the middle of this chapter, beginning really with verse 6. John 17, verse 6. He says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. In this prayer, we have the words of the Lord Jesus saying to His Father that the work is finished. He said that earlier in the fourth verse, that He has finished the work which God had given Him to do. And He says that they have understood these words which God has given Him. He spoke exactly the words that God gave Him to say to these that were following Him. And they have received them. And they have known surely that they are true. We have the same opportunity to be just as certain of the Lord's sonship, His position as the Son of the Father. We have the same opportunity to be certain as these disciples. They have known surely that the Lord came from them, came from God, and they have believed that God sent him. But then we see that the Lord Jesus is very aware of the position of his people in this world. He says, I pray for them. I pray, do not pray for the world, because the world was not listening to those words, but his people, the disciples, we, his followers, his people, his children, now also sons of God, are the ones that God, that the Lord Jesus prays for, because we are his. And now in verse 11, actually let's read verse 10, all mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. We had said about the glory that the Lord Jesus had in verse 5, that he had with the Father, glory he has with the Father. And in verse 24 of this chapter, the glory that the Father had given to him, this additional glory as the one who had finished the work of redemption. Now here's a third way in which the Lord Jesus is glorified. I'm glorified in them, in his people, in we, in us, here in this world, he's glorified. And look what it says then in verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world. The Lord Jesus was going to be leaving this world. And the world would no longer have, you might say, an opportunity to see Jesus Christ come in the flesh. The Word made flesh, dwelling among men. The light from heaven, shining upon every man that is born into the world. Would no longer have the opportunity to see that testimony, to hear those words that were always perfect, to see the footsteps that were always devoted to the will of the Father. He's leaving the world. He's bodily going to be ascending up into heaven, going to the Father's house, going to where the Father is, the place that he would finally have that unique relationship restored again, in a sense. In one sense, it was never broken, as we have said today. And in another sense, the Lord Jesus was, could we say, he was thrilled to be going back to where his Father was. So he was no longer in the world. And yet it says, these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. And so, though the world doesn't any longer have the Son bodily here, the world has these still here. And we are sons. We are those who have that same character, as we were saying. We have the Lord Jesus, who is the unique Son, in a unique sense, the only begotten of the Father. But now he was bodily leaving the world. He would no longer be here. But these are still in the world. And so it's an opportunity for us. How do we see that the Lord Jesus would be glorified in us, in his people? It's because we're still in the world. And so the world does still have an opportunity to see the sonship character. It's because our footsteps can still please the Father the way the Lord Jesus did. We have the Spirit of God. We have the opportunity to understand the mind of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ in us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, it says in Philippians chapter 2. He lived this way, and we're told to have that same mindset. He would be glorified in us because we are still here in the world. And may it be so that as sons we show that glory.
John 14 again. We've heard about the place the Lord Jesus has prepared for us, and I say has prepared. It was read at the first part of the chapter, I go to prepare a place for you. Many have the idea that the Lord is doing some interior decorating or otherwise, preparing heaven for us. That is not the case. He was speaking of the cross. I go to the cross to prepare the place for you. The place is ready now. And then our brother was talking about how, although the Lord Jesus has been glorified, we are still here. Does this satisfy the Lord? Let's just, John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Marvelous thought. The Lord Jesus wants us where he is. He is coming again to receive us to be where he is. In the meanwhile, he is here where we are, in us. What a thought. He would not be satisfied with being there and we here, but he would be with us. Do we realize the implications of that? And it's not only the Lord Jesus that's with us, but the Father as well. We've been brought into a relationship, one that was not ours, but the Lord Jesus has brought us into a relationship that he had alone with the Father before. And now he's sharing that relationship with us. He would not leave us here. He came. He has come. He and the Father and have made their abode with us, where we are, while walking through this scene, this place that is, we've heard it today, is dark and wicked. Such a terrible place. But we are not alone. How wonderful to think of that. The Lord Jesus would not have us apart from himself. No distance. We are with him. He is abiding with us. Amen.